Isn't that cool? I love seeing individuals' unique relationship with God. Now, when she talks there, a lot of that stuff I can't relate to. I've never had cake and tea with God. I've never danced with God in the kitchen. I'm probably not going to. But there's something I hope we're starting to learn in this series about how to hear from God, that God is probably speaking in different ways to each and every one of us. Sometimes the way we hear people talk in a religious language really sets us off. Like I just read about this last week, a woman who stiffed the Sonic drive-through. After she got her food, she drove off and she told them, "This one's on God," and she left. Fortunately, they caught her and now she's facing a felony conviction. God bless America. That's wonderful. That is, but I think all of us have, sometimes we have lines that we hear people say and we just go like, really, really? We're trying to normalize an abnormal experience. That is a transcendent entity that created you actually talking to you. I believe that can happen. I believe it does happen. And as we finish off this series, I'm going to give my best to help you get that into your spirit. Let's pray right now. God, thank you for this time to go beyond the normal. This is stuff we're talking about that's not going to be on Netflix. It's not going to be talked about in many, many other places, but in an environment like this, we can dig in and we can learn. And I thank you, God, to be able to have the opportunity to talk about transcendent things, things that are beyond the normal. Help me to be clear and helpful. And thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity. I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, we have up here an interesting thing that we did on Saturday morning. We had 1,500 of our leaders from all of our different sites and different places coming in into Cincinnati for a leadership morning to learn about leadership, to be encouraged, to worship together. And just, it was really, really, really a powerful 4-hour block or something like that. And at the end of that time, everyone had these flags and we were able to write on there things that we thought that God was saying to us. And we were able to drive our flag into the hill and say, God, this is what I think that you want me to do, and I am going to go through it. All these signs represented 1,500 people who felt like God was nudging them. God was working on something inside of them. And let's just be honest right now. I've never heard an audible word from God. In fact, as I've heard all the people who've been speaking this series, I haven't heard anybody yet. Allie, Chuck, Kyle, who said they've heard an audible thing of God. There are people who've said they have heard actually a sound wave from God. I've not heard that. I hope to hear that someday. That would be great. But I want to demystify hearing from God a little bit, and I also want to, in some ways, mystify it. It's a crazy, amazing thing. Why is it that more of us don't hear from God? Maybe we've never heard from God, or at least we can't remember the last time that we did hear from God. I want us to consider that part of the reason might be the way that we live our life. Part of the reason might be the speed at which we live. God speaks to me not through an audible sound wave. God speaks to me the way he's probably going to speak most frequently to you, through the person of the Holy Spirit. God exists in three persons. By the way, we're going to go to the deep end today. Are you okay with this? I don't care if you are or not. We're going there right now. So God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all one, all in harmony. Jesus proceeds from the Father. He's the Son of God. He's died for us. When you receive Jesus in your life, when you commit your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, actually inhabits your body. And so when God speaks to you, it's from a prompting, a nudge, an awareness, something that comes inside of you, not inside of your humanness, but the divine actually being inside of you. The Holy Spirit actually comes inside of you. Now, the Holy Spirit is likened to something in the Bible. Jesus has the Holy Spirit descends upon him, it says, like a dove. I think it's interesting, like a dove. Not like a crow, like a dove. How many of us have ever heard a crow? Gah! Gah! Right? We've all heard crows. The Holy Spirit comes on Jesus, not as this loud bird that's never intimidated. Not as this bird that is loud and just swoops in and is okay with all kinds of noise and chatter. But he comes. How many of us have ever heard a crow, by the way? Who's ever heard a crow? Who doesn't have any eardrums? Ma'am, you've never heard a crow. I'm looking at you. You've never heard. Raise your hand. This is group participation time. There you go. Good. Wonderful. How many of us now have ever heard a dove? Okay, a few of us. Dove. A dove descends on. The Holy Spirit is likened to a dove. What this means is the Holy Spirit really enjoys calm. He enjoys serenity. He enjoys when there's peace. The reason why we don't hear doves very often is because when there's loud noises and a lot of, and doves just, they go, they leave. Not a crow. No, but a dove does. See, most of us have crow-like lives and not dove lives. We live in the most stressed out, overtaxed, overstimulated, over-to-do listed generation in the history of the world, bar none. In the New York Post, to put it this way, this is progress in America. You always move forward and there are no limits to how far you can go or how fast you can get there. Don't pause, don't reflect. You win or lose, you'll fall behind and fail if you stop moving. Fast at any cost is the mantra of a stressed and distressed American society today. Friends, we are the fastest paced culture in the history of the world. It's not just because of our time period, but when people come from other countries, either to immigrate here or to vacation here, I hear from it over and over and over again, they all tell me, my gosh, there's just like an energy here. There's a pace of life, which is partially what drives us economically, why we're such an economic engine. It's also partially what drives us to have as many mental disorders as we have, as much stress as we have, as much paranoia, as much breakdowns as we have, as much ulcers as we have. There has never been a faster paced culture in the history of the world than America right here, right now. When is the last time you didn't have a to-do list? When's the last time you didn't have a goal you were working towards? Any goal? When's the last time you sat and didn't have Spotify playing? When's the last time you sat on your couch and didn't watch Netflix? When's the last time you drove the speed limit, for one, and you didn't listen to a podcast? When's the last time you drove in silence? When is the last time you just went inside of your house or when you went out in the woods and you just did this? You just sat. Shoot, if someone saw you just sitting and doing nothing today, they think you ought to be committed to an asylum or something like that. What are you doing, man? Chop, chop, chop. And in the midst of all of this cacophony, we expect the dove to break through. Now, to be clear, God can speak to you and I any way he wants, anytime he wants, and he can break through. Absolutely, he can. I'm just telling you, unless we slow down, we're not going to hear from God because the dove flees. The dove, he's not going to be able to get over the cacophony of what's going on in our lives and in our hearts. We need to slow down. We need to have times where we slow down. We need to slow down. Slow down. The book of Psalms, God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Not be on task. Be still. Not be strategic. Be still. Not be multitasking. Be still. When we are still, we up the likelihood that we might hear the prompting of God, that we might feel a nudge, the very voice of God that's coming from inside of us, and it's coming from God himself. You know, I want to hear from God, whatever it is, however it is, and you probably do too. And so we'll do all kinds of things to hear from God. Like we'll try a different church. We'll go to a conference someplace. We'll read the latest cool book. We do anything to try to hear from. I've done some crazy things to try to hear from God. Like I learned when I was younger that this book is the word of God. To hear from God, the word of God is in here. So I would, instead of adjusting my life to slow down and learn to understand his cadence to me, I would do things like, I got to do something. I'll do Bible roulette. I would go say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And I'd go, and then he hung himself. Oh no, you don't want me to do that, dude. So I gotta try something else. Go and do likewise. What? Go and do likewise. I would do these things, just trying to short circuit my own spiritual growth and trying to understand how to get something from God. I believe all of us have something to get from God, and I believe we can learn it from a story I want to spend the rest of our time with. It comes from the book of 1 Samuel. I'm carrying this book right now because part of what I want to do, I've learned, is sometimes I just have to change things up. I need to be fresh. So I'm using more these days an actual fuddy-duddy paper Bible. I know, I'm actually reading a paper Bible these days. For the last several years, I've been all digital. I do a part of my time with God still on the Crossroads app. It's amazing. You should do that. But I've also had done my normal Bible reading on an app or on a Bible and a software on here. I've done my journaling on here. There's good reasons for it because I can search it. I can access it anytime. All my stuff is in one place, all that stuff. But recently I've said, you know what? I should do a change up and I should go back and I should use old paper Bible for a bit. So I've been doing that. And it's been good. It's also been wild that I moved and a lot of my Bibles just went away. I used to have more Bibles in my house than you probably have Kleenex in your house. They were all over the place. And I was like, man, do I got these left around? And I found this one. I got this one here. And I'm going to read for you this story that ties into how somebody hears from God. It's a story about a prophet by the name of Samuel and actually a priest by the name of Eli. In this time in the Bible, there was a gap between God and people, and the priest stood between people and God, communicating to God on behalf of the people. So the priest would make sacrifices and some such thing, communicating a message to God, and God would send his message to his people through a prophet. So the prophet would send God's word to the people, the priest would send the people's word to God. And here we have Eli, who is a priest, and a little boy who is going to be one of the greatest prophets the world would ever know. His mom, I don't know his mom's name, but her son is named Samuel, and she drops Samuel off at the temple one day with Eli and says, I think God's doing something special in this kid. I need someone to raise his game. I want him to be under your wing. Would you basically mentor him? And that's what Eli does. And so here what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. Here's what it says. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. This is encouraging to me, and it should be encouraging to you. I mean, if you're sitting here right now and you're going, I'm hearing all these people hearing from God, but I'm not hearing anything. What's wrong with me? There are times where the word of God is just rare. There are times where you could be living a well-paced life, doing the right things, and you could go long period, years without feeling the touch of God on your life. This was one of those times where for whatever reason, God wasn't speaking. Just because you're not hearing from God, don't automatically conclude that therefore there isn't any God or God's not happy with me. Sometimes, friends, it just happens. Sometimes we just go through dry periods where we don't hear or we don't sense. And this is what's happening in Israel's history right here and then. So here's what it says in verse 4. Samuel is now in the temple as a little boy. He's sleeping in the temple, and here's what happens. Then the Lord called Samuel and said to him, Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me?" But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lied down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me?" But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Eli's not a parent here to Samuel, but this is what happens when you tuck your kids into bed, right? Like, they won't go to sleep. I don't know why it is when kids get tucked in, every kid becomes a dehydrated philosopher who needs a hug. I don't understand that, but Samuel looks like this. He's like, doesn't want to sleep. He's like, what'd you say? And Eli says, "No, go back to bed, go back to bed." Story continues. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So Samuel is hearing from God, even though he doesn't have a relationship with God yet, because God can speak to anybody at any time for any reason. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So Eli realizes this is not a kid who's a dehydrated philosopher in need of a hug. He realizes, oh no, this is one of those moments. I think the High Holy One is talking to you. Here's the way it works, Samuel. Go back, lie down. If you hear it again, just send him a message that says you're up for it, to say, "Speak, your servant hears. Speak, your servant listens." And this is what Samuel does. I think it's interesting that Samuel gets communicated to during the time of his day where he is the most slowed down. It's when he's on his bed. It's when he doesn't have the things on his to-do list. It's when he, I don't know the little kid would ever be stressed, but whatever little kid's got to do, this part of the day is when he would be the most slowed down. Maybe, this is really encouraging. Maybe the simplest thing you and I can do to hear from God is to do nothing someday. Is to take a break someday. Samuel slows down. In the midst of the slowing down, he hears from God, but he also has to tell God, "I'm listening. I'm hearing you." Now, Samuel gets a message that is not the first message that you would want to get. He gets a message that relates to Eli. Eli has been a leader in Israel, and he's been a leader that's been lazy. There's been some dereliction of duty with him. He's got some sons that are out of control and bringing spiritual harm to people. And he's in cruise control. He's coasting. And Samuel has a message for him that he doesn't want to give. He doesn't want to tell Eli exactly what God told Samuel. And yet, this is what happens. God says to Samuel, "I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. So tell him pain is coming his way." This is really unusual. This is really unusual. Today, when someone gets a word from the Lord, a prophecy, the New Testament is really clear that the predominant way that works is encouraging. It's encouraging. God brings us an encouraging word. I don't know why it is that we, in our sick, twisted ways, we think that if God was to talk to us, he'd give us a smackdown. No, we think that because we live such hectic and frenetic lives, we're losing touch of the true value and character of God. That we assume that if he were to say something to me, he would say something that is not in line with who he is or his very nature. And because we're losing the ability to understand the God who is, I'm just hearing more and more people who are renouncing their faith, who are just saying, I'm no longer Christian. I've heard pastors and all kinds of folks over the last few months, maybe it's just my social media feeds, that are just filling up with people who are renouncing their faith. When people renounce their faith, at least the ones that I see are renouncing their faith, it's because of one of three reasons. One, the person has a life that's not working. Their life isn't working, and they feel it's God's fault that their life isn't working, that they're stressed out, or that this isn't happening for them. And so they're frustrated because really, really, it's about their frustration with life, not God. And they maybe haven't managed their life well, but they're not honest enough and bold enough to say that to themselves and others. Hey, I've mismanaged my life. I haven't done the right things. It's much easier to say, oh, there's no God. Look at my life. So that's one possible reason. Another possible reason is many people have not had a personal relationship with God. They've had a philosophical understanding of God. Man, I remember when I gave my life to God, it was real. It was tactile. It got personal. It was no longer about theoretical principles. It was personal. And when there is difficulty in your life and all you have is a philosophy, and to be very, very clear, there are pastors who are pastors because they like the philosophy of Christendom. They like the philosophy of the Bible. That is not the same as having a personal relationship with the God who's inside of the Bible and outside of the Bible. And when we don't have a personal connection, when there's difficulty or when there's doubts, we're just going to change philosophy. Or the third reason we renounce our faith. It's not because NASA just came back and there's new images of the cosmos. I never hear anybody renouncing their faith because NASA came back with new images from the Hubble Space Telescope, and we go, oh my gosh, woo! Oh, that changes everything. Oh, science has this new discovery. I can't believe in God. I don't know anybody who renounced their faith because of what science has said. I like science. Like it a lot. I like it a lot. There's never, name that movie, Dumb and Dumber. You people are getting too young. Dumb and Dumber, that's right. You ever see Dumb and Dumber? Yeah, it's a good movie. That is. Pretty Bird. Where was I? Never because of science or never because someone knocked on their door with a new religion, they decided to embrace it. It's because of these things. And number three, because we're not up for God being God. We struggle with having faith because God does whatever God wants to do, and he doesn't have to consult us. He doesn't have to consult because he's God. He's the God of all that is. Now that Samuel hears from God, he goes to Eli, and he hems and haws, and Eli says, hey, man, don't short-circuit me. Tell me what he said. I want to hear. And Samuel tells him, Your run's done. And here is Eli's response. 1 Samuel 3:18. He is the Lord. He does as he pleases. He's the Lord. He does as he pleases. Eli doesn't like this. Eli is not comforted by this message. This doesn't mean that Eli's future is going to be great. But Eli doesn't lose his faith over this at all. He recognizes that he is God and he will do what he will do, what he pleases. And here's a key thing. Here's the next level. Once we slow down and we hear a sense, we feel a prompting, we have a nudging on something. When we have that, the critical thing then is to do what we were told. Samuel says, speak, Lord, your servant hears. When God spoke to him this message, had Samuel not done what God wanted him to do, had he not said what God wanted him to say, I'm pretty confident the messages from God would have stopped coming. Because God speaks to people who will listen. When we say, your servant listens, we've got to listen. This is very inspiring for me. Very inspiring for me. I mean, all of these little ones. Like people just writing stuff down like, I'm resolved to not lust after Chuck Mingo. Well, gosh, I don't know why they said that. Jeez, what's wrong with these people? Well, whatever these things are, whatever is on here, the inspiring thing isn't the people walked up and said, I sense God wants me to do this. The inspiring thing is when these things get done. The inspiring thing was Samuel speaking to Eli and Eli going, I got it. He'll do what he pleases. I got it. The inspiring thing is when God puts something on our heart and we actually follow through and we do it. Over the summer, I try to slow down. Slow down. I try to get into a different rhythm. I try to take on less responsibility. I try to get to different places that operate at different paces, like a lake in Tennessee that a friend of mine lets me use his house that's on it. And I just go down and in slowing down, I hear things that I wouldn't hear my normal pace of life. Lib and I invited a bunch of people down, different times come down, and some of those were staff folks, and they come down and I would hear things that they said the same thing and I was around a conference table, I don't know that I would have heard it because I would have still been stressed out about everything else that was on my day. But in a lower key environment, when I heard things, my head would go like, what? What? We're doing that? What? Like I got some clarity on things. I felt like God was nudging me. I would think about people for random reasons that I would never think about people. And I would do prayer texts, pull out my phone and just say, hey, you're on my mind right now. And I would just type out a prayer to God that that person could see. Lord, help Andrew. Amen. And as this would happen, it happened more because I was slowed down. People were like, oh my gosh, that was a perfect prayer for me. Or that was the right time to connect me. Happens because I was slowing down. And also, when I was slowing down, I would still do things that weren't the good things to do, but because I was slowing down, I was more introspective. Like, why am I doing that? Like, I Facebook creeped on more people than I ever have in my life. I have more downtime. Like, what are that person's up to? And go on there. And, you know, aha! I knew it. I knew they were weird. Or I knew. And then as I would do this, God would nudge me and go like, Brian, what's up with all the joy of judging people via social media? What's this sick fetish you have of just trying to find out something that somebody isn't doing right? Oh, yeah, you're right, God. Sorry. I won't do that anymore. Had I Facebook creeped back in my normal mode, I probably wouldn't have been introspective on it at all. But when we slow down, and then when we do what God is prompting us with, God goes, ho, there's a child, there's a woman, there's a man that I am going to take special interest in. Did you hear about this child that went to Smoky Mountain National Park, and they saw this little heart-shaped rock, they thought it was awesome, they took it home, and then they realized when they took it home, they were stealing federal property. That's what everything is in a national park. I don't know if this little child realized it or their parent told them, but this little girl sent the rock back with an apology letter to the Park Service, and the Park Service said, yeah, if all the millions of people who visit our parks, if everyone takes memento, our parks are going to be decimated. It's impressive. Is this little girl had a sense of what was right and just sent it back and was just a beautiful, it was wonderful. Maybe it was God that spoke to her. I don't know. But I know this. All of us know this. The people you want to speak to are the people who listen to you, right? Friends who don't listen to what you say, you just don't want to talk to them. People who you manage at your workplace, if they don't follow through on your feedback, you just stop managing them. And then you wait for them to not perform and then they get fired. I wonder if God isn't too unlike this. I wonder if God is encouraged to speak with some people more often because some people are more often willing to just do what God says, to actually follow through with what God says. Later on in Samuel's life, after this story, after he has learned this lesson of slowing down and then doing what God says, he says this. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Is the Lord more up for religiosity than he is for actually doing what he says? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to listen than the fat of rams. He's saying to do what God says is better than going to church for yet another service. That is the most important thing. It's a sacred trust when God puts something on our heart, when the dove, it's a sacred thing when you get a thought that you realize that's probably Jesus. When you get an impression, when you get a word that wasn't generated initially by you, it's a sacred trust that's put into you. And when you have that, however seemingly insignificant it might be, you got to move. You got to move. Now, last week, Kyle told a story that was pretty impactful. Didn't Kyle do a great job last week? He did. Someone just told me that he's wearing the same exact shoes that I have. Yes, he was. Let's remind ourselves that someone at Adidas gave me these. I don't know how much you're paying Kyle for him to own shoes like this, but nonetheless, he did an amazing, amazing job talking about a very tender moment when he had left staff, and then I basically had him do the opposite. Story as it went, he came and told me, as he said, I was very gracious that he was leaving staff. I'm about people going forward, whatever God wants them to do, whether it's here or wherever it is. So I was like, yes, great. How can I support you? It's good, 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 great. He then told you that I was in workout clothes when I came back to talk to him. Here's why. Here's the story behind the story. When I get up in the morning, I hear some of you, you go running in the morning, you work out in the morning. That's wonderful. Good for you. That's good for you. I don't do that. I don't do that. If I get up and I start working out in the morning, like my metabolism kicks in and I'm like, chop, chop, let's go. I'm going to be on it, right? I'm not going to slow down for the rest of the day. So that's just for me. So when I wake up, the first thing I do is I sit with God. I want to try to hear from God. I want to read the Bible. I want to sip some decaf coffee. I want to encounter him in a still way. Now later on in the day, and I never know when it is, I'm a member of the gym that's the closest thing to the office. And so when I got like an hour, I get out. So my hour that day was when after Kyle had talked to me. So boom, I got out. I get on the elliptical, and I'm on the elliptical doing my deal, and I'm just Kyle. And as I'm doing this thing and thinking about it and going on the elliptical and going up, I get this prompting. Tell Kyle I don't want him to leave staff. That sounds kind of precocious of me. But it persisted. It stayed with me. And I thought, as I was wrestling with it, I didn't want to do it. I was like, I got more convinced, no, this is the thing that Jesus wants to say. So then I got a timing issue. I think he's given 2 weeks, so I can do it sometime the next 2 weeks. Well, maybe I'll get done with this workout and then I'll go over. But I know these things work. Once you sense that God's saying something, the longer I wait, the more likely I won't do it. So as I'm on that, then I'm like, okay, God, done. I leave immediately. I'm sweaty. I'm going. So that's when I walked in. I said, hey, Kyle. And that's when I said to him what he told you that I said last week. Had I waited, I don't know what would have happened. I know for many of you, you think that, you know, Kyle just gave a good message last week, and that's kind of cool. Kyle has impacted, if you've gotten anything from Crossroads over the last 10 years, there's things his fingerprints are on that you have no idea about, that you would not have been blessed were he not around. And that could be said by a lot of different staff members, a lot. Had I waited? I don't know. If he goes home and he feels like, okay, good, I got that off my chest, I'm definitely gone now. Maybe he doesn't have an open heart to reconsider. I don't know. Here's what I know, though. When God puts something on your heart, dudes, you need to freaking do it. Amen. You just need to do it. Stop dicking around and just go, this is personal. It's personal with what God is doing to me right now. It's personal with me and him. You are his child. He wants to speak to you. And he wants you to say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Your servant, your servant. What happens if all of this and all of this gets done? Oh my gosh, the world literally changes. Jesus says, you are my friend if you obey me. Jesus says, I want to spend time with you. That's what a friend is. I want to spend time with you if you will obey me, if you will do the things that I'm saying. I'm going to spend the last seconds of this series and today enabling you to hear from God right now. Why don't we pray? And I'm going to give you some silent space to slow down. And maybe God's going to speak to you right now. So here we go. Let's just bow our heads. It's bow our heads and actually let's take our hands. Put your hands up in an upward. Put them on your lap. Just put palms up. Palms up on your lap. It's the universal sign for receiving. Receiving. God, I ask you, speak to everyone right now. And what I encourage you to do as you listen to this, just say to mutter to him under your breath, just say to him silently, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Let me hear that. Amen. All right, if there was a thought that was running through your mind and wouldn't let go of, and you think that that's the kind of thought that Jesus would approve of, if there was something that came out of nowhere and just stuck in you, I encourage you, run that by one person who you're confident walks with God. Run it by them and then do it and watch your life change. Watch your relationship with God go to a whole different stratosphere. He wants to know who's a servant and who listens. All right, have a great week. We'll see you next week. It's been a great series. Thanks for coming. Have a great week.